Let us now turn to read God's Word. And our reading this morning is from 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy and chapter 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honour, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they which will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. And may God add his blessing and grant to us understanding and his blessing upon that reading of his own holy word. We continue our worship, coming this time to the words from Psalm 81. Psalm 81. And we're going to sing from verse 10 to verse 14. I am the Lord thy God, which did from Egypt land thee guide. I'll fill thy mouth abundantly, do thou it open wide. These words would speak of the blessings the Lord bestows upon his people. He never gives in meager measure, but all was liberally pressed down and running over. and yet do we receive it and take it from him. Verse 11, but yet my people to my voice would not attentive be, and even my chosen Israel, he would have none of me. So to the lust of their own hearts I them delivered, and then in counsels of their own they vainly wandered. Oh, that my people had me heard, Israel my way had chose. I had their enemies soon subdued, my hand turned on their foes. The haters of the Lord to him submission should have feigned, but as for them, their time should have forevermore remained. He should have also fed them with the finest of the wheat, of honey from the rock I filled, I should have made thee eat. We'll sing verses 10 through 14, these four stanzas then. I am the Lord thy God. Would you come back to the scriptures, but to this time to the letter of Paul to the Philippians and chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we'll break in to read from verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly, but now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. All of the celebrations are now over. Rejoicing is a thing of the past. The time of reckoning now is to come and has begun. And with all of the activities of these past 2-3 weeks or even more, we have to ask the question, what has been the effect of it all? What's it achieved? There has been a sustained expectation building up this year as in every other year. But what difference has it made? Yes, we've heard perhaps become more and more restricted and confined and changed in its vocabulary, but we are hearing from time to time the clear teaching and the purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told of the spiritual intent behind and below the birth of the Lord Jesus to save his people from their sins. And we know that forgiveness is what he came to achieve and accomplish. And in bringing it, and as we experience that from his hand, so we know peace in our soul. And it's good that we are reminded of these things in the broadest opportunities possible. Because he has come to obtain what we lack. A life of fullness and a life of satisfaction that we've been singing of and highlighting from our scenes this morning. Last Sunday morning we were thinking on the challenge from Simeon and the way in which, having seen the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, now let thy servant depart in peace. And we had there, as we saw, a very good test of the true and profitable experiences of the past weeks. The one single most important effect with us is the way in which seeing Jesus Christ and knowing him as the Messiah for ourselves, we are now ready to die. That is the astonishing lesson that Simeon gives us. Now let thy servant depart in peace. Why? Because I have seen the Lord's Christ. And yet for so many people today, life will now go on as normal tomorrow. There's no real heartfelt change. Despite everything that's been planned and everything that's been laid on, we still find that there is unrest, discontent in people today. We could pick it up in the voice. We can see it in the body language. We'll see it confronting us in this year as it now unfolds before us. Promises have been held out in the gospel, but people don't close with them. Promises are being held out in society, but these promises don't deliver. And so we find that this great discontent still lingers with us today. The very thing that Paul wrote to Timothy, we read there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. Godliness with contentment is a great gain. Paul, Timothy, and every Christian knows this priceless experience of godliness. That possession which Jesus Christ gives of being right with God in his eyes and according to his standards. The gift of Jesus Christ to as many as trust in him. That peace, that contentment which he gives to his people. Yes, there will be storms all around us. We don't know what this year holds for us. But there will be no ripple to trouble our conscience. There will be nothing from the past yet to be confronted and dealt with. There will be nothing about death to disturb the peace of living now. And these truths and experiences are true only of as many as trust in Jesus Christ. So here we have Paul telling us, yes, he is indeed content. And at this time especially, we have to ask not only ourselves, but it's a question that we have to pose to society and to others round about us. All that they've been through and all that we've seen and all that we've handled and all that we've had. The simple test comes to us now that it's all over. The question is this one. Paul is content. Are we? Are we content where we are and what we've got today? There was something missing with people then. There's something missing with people today. There is so much enticement. There is so much attractive promises and offers made. Holding out the prospect of this or that. And the echo within you and me. If we feel that emptiness within. We know that there's something missing. We are not content. People are not content today. But Paul was. Why? Why was Paul content when you think of the variety of his life and the way in which he was always on the move, experiencing such a variety of things coming to his life and the travel he went through and the travail he endured? And yet in all of these things he was content. Why? He was content because he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Despite all of the discomfort, despite all of the trouble that he was going through, and we know it from his own history gives us, the one thing that was a consolation, the one thing that he valued and treasured above anything else that gave him this contentment was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If you simply go back to chapter 3, we've done it before and we can remind ourselves of it. That what Paul is doing there is setting out options in one hand and on the other. And he sets out all of the advantages that he had, as it were, religious advantages, that is. Everything that was stacked in his favour that he could think of from the very moment of his birth. His breeding, his teaching, his possessions, his culture, his habits, all of these things he put on one side. And on the other side, he put one simple fact. He put on one side one simple person. He put on the other side, which counterbalanced everything else. These things were I thought were gain to me, I in fact count them as loss for Jesus Christ the Lord. All he wanted was the excellency of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ for himself. And as he strained himself to know more and more of the Lord, so he sets that same principle and example for others. Strive to know more of the Lord. Not just simply about the Lord. We can read about the Lord from books and our Bibles and other histories such like. That's not what he's talking about. That's where Paul was before he became a Christian. He knew about the Lord. He knew about his life. He knew of what he did. He knew of where he went. He had to know these things because Paul was a persecutor. And he wanted to know all the facts that he could put them out against the Lord. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about here now is something altogether different. Now he knew the Lord himself personally. He knew the Lord as the friend of his soul. He knew the Lord in all of his character of grace and of mercy and of love. The care and the sympathy of the Saviour. The healing touch that he had in his life and the strengthening words which he spoke. All of these rich qualities about Jesus Christ, that's what Paul knew. All his life. All his life, Paul applied himself religiously, tenaciously. He applied himself with every ounce of his being. He tried to get right with God. Oftentimes, he went to astonishing and to amazing lengths. He thought he had made it. But then the Spirit of God worked within him. And his eyes were opened and he began to see things in their proper colors and real dimensions. And he saw that he had failed. And instead of being rich before God, he realized and he felt that he was in debt to God. And the only way that debt could be cleared is through the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross. When he took the sins of Paul and of his people, and he gave his life instead of Paul, so that the wrath and the anger of God came not upon Paul, but upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the glorious inheritance that Paul and every other believer Christian has. And that's what makes the Lord Jesus Christ so precious. And that's what Paul is speaking about here. And this is the fountain and the source of his contentment. It started there on the road to Damascus. But that was only the start of things. When he found that contentment and that peace in the provision that the Lord Jesus Christ had made for the sins and the faults of his life, he then set out on a great journey of fellowship, walking with the Lord. And although he knew much of the Bible and much of the Old Testament, Paul was making discoveries day after day. All of the experiences of life, he was coming to know more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in tight corners. His back was against the wall. He had no resources. He was fighting a great fight against spiritual opposition. But all of the time, when he leant upon and he drew upon and he looked to the Lord Jesus Christ, day after day, there was the same experience for Paul. That the Lord Jesus Christ was more than equal to every eventuality as it arose in his life. Whatever spiritual battle, whatever spiritual temptation, whatever spiritual decision had to be made, with all of the potential consequences tumbling through the mind of Paul. If this one I take, if that one I go to, what would be the consequences? Which one is right, therefore? And he would ask the Lord for the guidance that he needed, and the Lord would give it, and it was always perfect, and it was always appropriate. He knew the Lord, and he was content with his God. All of the spiritual provision for sin, the righteousness that he could never achieve, the fellowship of walking with him day after day with all of the tight situations of life. Even, yes, when he was shut up in prison, even then, people could be boxed out, but Paul could never be shut in. This is the way Paul lived. Taken from formal religion. Taken from the outward performance of things. The rituals and the routines. And he was taught of his own heart. And he tasted forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is now no comparison. Beforehand he was always striving. Always reaching out to reach and attain a standard. But now Jesus Christ has done for Paul what Paul could not do for himself. His life is full. His life is at peace. He is content, knowing that all his affairs are in the hands of his Savior, his Lord, Jesus Christ, the friend of his soul. Yes, what the Lord has done at the beginning. Yes, the fellowship along the way. But yes, we must mention one particular aspect of that relationship with Paul and the Lord. And it applies to every one of the Lord's people still today. The way in which the Lord constantly remembers and prays for his people. We can pray one for the other. But the prayers that Paul valued more than any other are the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He carries his people, his own redeemed people. He carries his people before God in heaven. He pleads for their cause. He speaks on their behalf. That prayer life of the Lord, our great high priest, interceding constantly, always, for his own. What a tremendous source of contentment that brings. Not just to Paul then, but to people now. We need to keep these spiritual truths constantly before our own minds. And especially perhaps they're coming to focus in these days. People are looking for contentment. Great expectations built up over these last 2-3 weeks. Has it been delivered? Have they experienced and tasted it? No. But the Christian has, and is available here, and it's spoken of in this gospel concerning this person and the work that he has done. Paul knew the Lord, and he was content with all that the Lord had given and done and still does and will do for him. And tasting of the Lord in this way brings, as we've said, an intolerance of every other kind of substitute. So much on offer these days. So much set before us. This is held out and that is offered to us. And we just simply don't want anything to do with it. The psalmist we were singing and we were reading there and mentioning several times. The way in which he loved the Lord and wanted the Lord more than anything else. And that's the experience of the Christian speaking. Because having tasted that the Lord is good and gracious, we will not be content with anything less. than more of the same every time we come to him. And when we're away from him, and when we dally along the way or look across the fence and linger on the path, these are the times when that contentment challenges us and disturbs us, because we've tasted it before and we'll not get it anywhere else but from the same source, the same person as we had before. Great expectations, but they don't deliver. It is only as we wait upon the Lord that we do experience that contentment. And Paul is speaking to us here about this contentment. What does it mean? It means quite simply, the word actually contentment means contained. All that he needs, whatever situation might arise, all that he needs is contained in this gospel he believed, in this work of the cross he trusted in this person that he travels with along the path of life. Contentment means that everything that he needs, the Lord Jesus Christ has and makes available to him. He never has to look elsewhere. He never has to look beyond, outside the Lord himself. Paul's, if anybody had a dramatic life, then surely we can see it applying to Paul. So many varieties of where he went and what he suffered at the hands of people. But his peace and this contentment was never dependent. It was never controlled by what was going on around about him or where he was. Just like with ourselves, all of the functions and all of the promises, all of the hype, all of the pressure of these past days, that's not what's going to give us peace, and that's not what's going to bring us contentment. That what's going on round about us. Paul was drinking spiritual water from another fountain. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where Paul was drinking, and that's where he found contentment. And that fountain never ran dry. He was eating spiritual food from a table which the Lord provided for him, and there was always rich and abundant fare for his soul there. There were times when he was in a tight corner. There were times when he was enjoying plenty. There are dangers that come with each of these experiences for him and for us. Perhaps the most dangerous of all is the one we're living in today, when we have plenty. Because we can so easily settle down and ease off. We can so easily and so quickly, we can become complacent and let things drift instead of sailing. We can so easily and so quickly be content with less. That's the danger that we have today. It's the danger that we have in the book of Revelation. If the Lord permits, we'll be there tonight. But in the book of Revelation chapter 3, the church in Laodicea, it was, own opinion was, it was rich in goods. It was a great place, it was a great church, and all the things that were going for it. But then the Lord comes in and says, no, you're not rich, you're poor. You're not dressed well, you're naked. You think you've got good sight and understanding, in actual fact, you're blind. That's the dangers that we have today, with all of the rich provision round about us, to have been sucked in by them and been influenced by them. And the danger is that we have to be vigilant and keep our balance. So therefore, for Paul, he was content. He was contained. His life was sufficient. for every demand of every eventuality. He was drawing upon the Lord Jesus Christ himself only and always. What is it that made his day then? We can ask that question, we hear it asked ourselves. What is it that makes your day? Honestly, simply, truthfully. Paul was not tied into any position. He was not dependent on any company. It wasn't circumstances that brought that contentment that he spoke of. Simply, the fellowship which he had with the Lord Jesus Christ. One time in Acts 16, we find him being beaten up. He's put in prison. He's put in the stocks. Can anything get any worse than that? And yet we find him at the night time. What's he doing? He is singing. His contentment was not determined by the circumstances in which he was. Every detail of his life, and this is something we've got to hold on to and take with us. Every detail of his life and every detail of the Christian's life today has been arranged by our Heavenly Father in his wisdom, in his power, and in his love. It is not a series of accidents that Paul went through, but he went through instead set appointments from the courts of heaven. It wasn't disasters brought about by the hand of man, but dates that had been planned by the hand of God. He was content. His life depended on and drew from the Lord. It was contained. He had no need for anyone or anything outside. And he tells us here that he learned this. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. It was something that he discovered for himself. It didn't come out of books. It wasn't something that came to him immediately on the road to Damascus that he learned and came upon at once. It was something that came upon him progressively. He tells us, I know, in verse 12. He keeps repeating it for us. It was something that it came out of his own practical experience. I've been there. Bit by bit, test after test, I've made progress in testing and discovering more and more of the riches of my Lord and his provision for my need. I've had to go into places, speak to people. I've been treated in this way and that way at their hands. And all of these different experiences have taught me something. They've taught me this simple lesson: containment. Containment. I don't need to look anywhere else but my Lord and my God. Whether it's, he tells us here in verse 12, whether it's with the abundance of what I've got or with meager measures from other sources, it doesn't matter. All that he needed was the Lord, and the Lord provided for him as that need arose. Are we learning like Paul was learning? Sometimes we can complain too easily to the Lord when things turn bad, when things turn down. Yes, we can entertain hard thoughts sometimes about the Lord and his dealings with us. Paul would never be heard speaking like that. He learned through all these different things, hard things, much harder than we go through. He learned this lesson of the sufficiency of Jesus Christ for his needs. It was the hard school of Christian experience. It was the hard school of hard knocks. He didn't get it from books. He didn't get it immediately. It was something that he came in the practical, everyday realities of life. Meeting Christ in new ways, in fresh ways. That's what he learned. That's what he discovered for himself. And there's nothing. Nothing in all the world that is even close, compensates, substitutes for the Lord. I have learned to be content. I am content with the Lord as my God, knowing that every provision that I need, he will meet. We're told here in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. How can he share that testimony with these people in Philippi? Simply because he knew it as a reality for himself. Whatever need I was in, God met it. And if he did that for me, he'll do that for you. God will withhold no good thing from those of his people that live uprightly. Times indeed we find it difficult to accept what he brings. It might take years for us to finally bow and to acknowledge the goodness of God and his wisdom in dealing with us. But that is always the way he deals with us. He withholds no good thing from those who live uprightly. Providences come into our life, might not make sense of them at the time, but we always accept them as the wisdom of our Father towards every one of his people. The care of God runs to the lightest and smallest of details. It runs to the most extreme of circumstances. It's brought home to us in the most impressive of illustrations. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. If God provided for your sin in the giving of his Son, will he not also meet every other need that arises in you, to you? That's the contentment which Paul knew. That the Lord would be a sun and a shield to his people, constantly refreshing, constantly blessing. But we come right back to what we said at the beginning. The most important thing for Paul himself is the Lord Jesus Christ with him every day in all things. He learned and he discovered and he was thrilled with the pleasure and the blessing and the delight of Jesus Christ with him wherever he went. Circumstances changed for him, but that contentment never went away. Circumstances change for us. Perhaps old age comes and we're not able to get out, we're not able to read, we're not able barely to hear what's been said and going on round about us. What then? With all of the restrictions, with all of the limitations that come, remember they're round about us. What about containment? We still have the Lord. We can still talk with him and read of him and remember what he's done and given to us. Independent of anything in our lives. The question then comes to ourselves here this morning. Out of everything of this past 2 or 3 weeks, are we content? Do we know the Lord Jesus Christ in this capacity and in this ministry to our souls? Contentment is found in one place only. It's not the times, Christmas time or Easter time or any kind of anniversary or birthday or celebration. It's not in times or occasions. It's not in events or in places. Contentment is found in a person. in Jesus Christ, when we know him as our Saviour, dealing with the greatest problem we have. And when we know him like that, when we know him in this capacity for our soul, then, and only then, will we have this great blessing that Paul speaks of here. I know, I have learned to be content. That Paul speaks of when he wrote to Timothy later on, godliness with contentment is great gain. And the question then echoes and still echoes with us. What has been achieved and accomplished through all of these past days for us? Are we content? Content in ourselves, with our God, and with the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. Let us pray. Our Lord and our gracious God, we do bless thy name for the way in which the marvel of this gospel is again in our hearing today. We bless thee for the way in which, with a particular sharpness, it is brought home to us at this time. We bless thee, O Lord, for the way in which thou dost in thy grace speak to each one of us with the power of heaven, addressing our soul and our relationship with thyself. May we hear, and O Lord, may thy blessing be upon us, individually and all of us together, that we might trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ and experience from his hand that tremendous inheritance, treasure of gifts obtained through his death upon the cross. Hear us, O Lord, and bless us, and pardon us our sins. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close this morning by singing from Psalm 62. Psalm 62 at verse 5. My soul, wait thou with patience upon thy God alone. On him dependeth all my hope and expectation. There it is for us, surely. The one focus of this psalmist, the one focus we have to have, looking only to Jesus. He only my salvation is, and my strong rock is he. He only is my sure defense, I shall not move be. In God my glory placed is, and my salvation sure. In God the rock is of my strength, my refuge most secure. Ye people, place your confidence in him continually. Before him pour ye out your heart. God is a refuge high. 62, 5 through 8. My soul, wait thou with patience. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.